Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Overnight America continues. Wow. Goes by quick. I have been looking forward to hearing what Terry in St. Charles has to say about barbecue between St. Louis and Kansas City. All right. Hello, Terry.
Hello there.
So you could give me an idea of what's the differences between the two?
Well, I can go back in time with you. We would need a current update. But when I moved there in 1990, it was my hobby on the weekends to try different barbecue restaurants.
Oh, okay.
So I looked in the phone book under restaurants for barbecue restaurants and found they were not listed. They were listed in a separate barbecue restaurant directory, which had 52 different barbecue restaurant locations.
Ooh, how many of those did you try?
So, I got up to about 30.
Wow, okay.
And about the top 10 that I went to would certainly equal or better Pappy's or Sugar Fire.
Wow.
Now, they were just that many, that good. KC Masterpiece Barbecue Sauce was invented there and had the first restaurant there. Mm-hmm. KC Masterpiece Restaurant.
Right. And they're very popular, that barbecue sauce on the shelf. I haven't had it in a while. It's not my go-to barbecue sauce, but...
Yeah, I just bought a bottle. It is also said that Arthur Bryant's is the number one on the New York Times top 10 barbecue list for years. And it said that when little old man Arthur Bryant died, he went to heaven, and St. Peter met him at the gates, and St. Peter leaned in and said, "Did you bring sauce?" So, there you go.
What's your favorite sauce now to use when you're just eating it at home?
Oh, I just brought home a bottle of KC Masterpiece Original.
That's your favorite?
Yeah. The next close to that would be just the regular Kraft.
Oh, interesting. I like the Sweet Baby Ray's. I like a little sweet barbecue sauce, but have you tried the Ghetto Sauce?
No.
Ghetto Sauce is really good. They sell it here in St. Louis. It's a guy out of St. Louis here.
Okay.
And they have two different versions. There's one that's spicy, one that's not spicy. But it's worth checking out if you like barbecue sauce.
Okay.
Ghetto Sauce. It's I forgot his name. It's something Lee. Something Lee's Ghetto Sauce. And they call it different things. Like Schnucks didn't like the name. They said, we can't sell something called Ghetto Sauce. So they call it something different in Schnucks, but everywhere else calls it Ghetto Sauce. All right. Thanks, Terry.
You bet.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
I love me some Pappy's. You know, I haven't been to Pappy's early enough to get, what do they have? The ends? You can go there and just buy the ends. Oh, the burnt ends. I've been wanting to go there to get burnt ends, but I know you have to get there early for it. Oh, does that sound good? Don in St. Charles. Hi.
How are you doing tonight?
Very good.
Okay. So first of all, the sauce, you know, if you cook the meat correctly and spice it up correctly, sometimes you don't even need sauce.
It's just good. Seriously. You know, sauce is good.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know what you mean. You got to put a lot of time into it. Like a lot of places, you go to the dry rub barbecue places where you could put whatever sauce you want onto it, or you don't have to put any at all. Just all depends, I guess.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Cook it correctly. But so I guess a couple of things. First of all, when I was in Panama, the country of Panama, I've been there a couple of times for work. And I was sitting at a restaurant overlooking the Panama Canal, which is very cool, of course. They had on the menu St. Louis-style ribs.
Oh, did they?
I swear to God, I couldn't believe it. I could not believe it.
Oh, like, that's awesome.
Hey, I'm from St. Louis.
Oh, I can't believe it. So you find something like that. Did you order it?
No, because I can... I'm a very good cook myself.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, it's just impressive. Okay, and that makes me wonder how many other places across the globe have St. Louis-style ribs on there.
That's what I was. That was my point. Is yeah, even in Central America, they still know. I know Kansas City has their name, but born and bred here in St. Louis.
I think they just have powerful lobbyists.
There you go. Hey, and can I say one more thing that's totally off the subject, which is definitely more important?
Yeah, go ahead.
Let's pay attention to what's going on in Iran.
What are you looking for out of Iran?
Well, kind of what's going on right now. A little unrest and, you know, a little, not revolution, but kind of.
You know,
they had one. Yeah. I'm old enough to know. I was there for the 444-day situation. You know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so maybe it's.
Last week I had it was 2 weeks ago now, Dan Perkins, we talked about Israel when they started to, when they broke the ceasefire and they started to fire on Israel again. And Iran plays into that because you look at the instability in the region, and plus Iran's always been the aggressor. So you look at situations like that. You don't see them talked a lot right about now. You hear the Gaza Strip and you hear them continue with the missile attacks or whatever. But Iran's kind of gone under the radar. They have been pretty quiet as of late, at least.
Well, I don't know if they've gone under the radar. I think it's the media that's
the reporting.
Gone under the radar.
Yeah.
Exactly. You're a smart enough guy to know this.
Yeah. The reporting goes. Yeah, Dan Perkins, I think you'd like that interview if you go to the podcast. It's from either last week or the week before.
Okay.
All right.
Little side, hey, but by the way, I couldn't believe they knew about St. Louis in Central America.
Very good. Thanks, Don.
Thank you. Good night.
Oh, I believe it. You're talking about, hey, St. Louis has earned St. Louis-style ribs. Pappy's, I want to go there right now. That's it. Drex asked if I ever camp out and wait for the doors to open. Looks like I know what I'm doing tonight. I'm hungry now. Oh, so hungry. Talking about all this food. It's Overnight America, KMOX. We're going to talk to Tom Sullivan in just a moment. Someone I had on the show earlier this week, but we talked about the trolley and some of the updates there, and he's been following it very closely. But right before we do that, I wanted to read this one text message that came in. It said, St. Louis-style ribs is a cut of ribs. It has to do with the way it's butchered, not prepared. Oh, had no idea. Learned something new. There's all kinds of different ways to prepare food, I guess. And now I know that there's a certain St. Louis style. Kind of like at St. Louis Bread Co. / Panera. They have the St. Louis cut bagel. They slice it like bread, which I still like. I don't know why so many people gave it a hard time. He's someone that's a local watchdog. He pays attention to the politicians, where the money's going, and someone that makes a lot of sense. His name is Tom Sullivan. Thank you for coming on to Overnight America.
Thanks for having me, Ryan.
I saw one of your remarks that you put out there, and I was reading it. This was just a couple of days ago, St. Louis County Council remarks of Tom Sullivan. Now, you pay an awful a lot of attention to what's going on, and I was asking you through email some of the top things that you pay attention to locally here. And certainly there's a lot to pay attention to locally in the city of St. Louis. I wanted to talk to you about the trolley and some of the developments on that because you've been following it, and maybe some other things too. But yeah, let's start with the Loop Trolley. And you've had a lot of criticisms of them throughout the entire process. And most recently we found that we continue to pump money into it. At least we know it'll be funded until the end of the year. And to me, it's all for nothing. I mean, I don't understand how we could possibly justify continuing to dump money into this thing at this point. I wanted to talk to you about some of the comments you had to county council and the way you look at it. As we are right now, why in the world are we continuing to throw money into this thing? And do you ever see this as an opportunity to be financially viable by itself?
Well, that's the big question. You know, the drama is continuing. So just back up a little bit. If you remember, in October, the trolley people came out and said they need to have $200,000 right away, or November 15th, the trolley is going to come to an end. and then I need another $500,000 after that. Well, Sam Page brought this up before the county council, and it kind of went nowhere. They were always reluctant, and he said, county executive said, we're going to wait and see what the mayor of St. Louis is going to do on this. And she had previously said that they don't have any funding. Well, then all of a sudden, the Loop Trolley Transportation Development District, Transit Development District, this is the entity that collects the 1 cent sales tax throughout the loop. They said they've got $90,000, and $90,000 will take it to the end of the year. So that's kind of where we're at right now. The question is somebody going to come up with some funding, and whether or not you know the city or the county is going to do it. The question I have asked, and what everybody else has asked, is what's the point of giving them money when there's really no plan to keep this thing going in the long run? St. Louis County gave them $3 million about 3 years or so ago. They went through that, and they came back and said they needed $500,000, and that's when Steve Stinger said no. But then Clayco came up with a $500,000. Clayco also lent them $200,000. Well, they went through all that money. Then somebody else made them a $100,000 loan, and they went through that, and then a second $100,000 loan, and they went through that. So the idea of giving these people money out of the public transit fund, to me, just makes no sense at all.
You know where the big flaw is here is that when they asked $500,000 and Steve Stinger said no, they should have had the foresight to realize they had to donate to his campaign before putting that request in. They missed that part.
They might have just doubled the campaign contribution.
All right, so part of this, too, is there ever going to be an audit of this thing? Where has the money been spent, 50-some million dollars?
Well, Mark Carter on the county council, he wants to have a federal audit. I'm not quite sure I know what a federal audit is. I mean, it's not like a state audit where you have a state auditor and the state auditor comes in. He said there's like some kind of an inspector general, but all they're doing is they're asking the one local congressman and all the congressional delegation to urge for this audit. But this has been like 3 weeks ago and haven't heard anything from it. So all these things just eat up money. Like crazy. I mean, light rail is pretty much the same way. Even if you're going to get into the high-speed rail out in California, they're up to $80 billion. So, I mean,
they've abandoned ship on that.
It's just the nature of these things that they just eat up more and more money. And all the estimates of what it's going to take in are always way out of bounds. And, you know, this particular one, nobody would have expected that this would have fallen so flat. They're only going to take in the first year, which is just about, I think November 15th will be the 1 year. They're not even going to take in 10% from ticket sales that they had estimated. So that is quite a drop from what they expected.
And part of this audit, and was it the Wall Street Journal or New York Times? One of them did a piece on the Loop Trolley, and they were talking about the failures of it here. And just in general, this program was put together to give money to different cities that wanted to put a trolley system in. St. Louis, one of those cities that was granted, you know, $20-some million. And they talked to these officials in the federal government that said, if we would have known everything, if we would have had the foresight, there's no way we ever would have granted this money to St. Louis. So I think it's not so much that they can't get the ridership or whatever it is. I think it's so much they understood that they were walking into a situation where they didn't have a lot of experience. They realized that it would be unlikely that this thing would be managed in a way that would be financially viable. And all the way together, I think so many people have looked at this, and we can all stand side by side and yell at the top of our lungs, enough's enough. Like, this is something we all actually agree on.
Yeah, I what's surprising to me is the degree of opposition to giving it any more funds. I told the county council last night, I would say nearly 90%, if you look at social media, about 90% of the people are opposed to it, and University City especially so. I mean, people are just rather severe in their criticism. I mean, it's like not one more cent. And especially if you live in University City and you have to put up with the trolley, you get stuck behind it. Or even when you're driving down Delmore, the tracks irritate a lot of people because your tracks of your car are kind of in and out of the tracks of the trolley. So that's kind of a mess. So.
Yeah. Last time we spoke, I rode the trolley one more time. My parents were in town. We are at the History Museum. And I said to my parents, I said, ugh, we could risk it. I was on vacation, so I didn't have anywhere to go. So I thought, if we get stuck for an hour, you know, it's worth the risk. We can try one last time, say goodbye to the trolley. And this is what I found out about the trolley. And this is one of those moments at the Del Mar Loop. So we got to our destination fine. We went to Fitz's and got some root beer floats and stuff, and it was great. And then we went back on the trolley. Well, my parents, up there in age, when they were trying to get onto the trolley, it was a little bit of a step for them. So they have a handlebar on one side, and then there's the door to the trolley on the other side. So they were using the handlebar on one side, and then they stabilized themselves with the door on the other side. I later found out that that's the reason why the door is so finicky, is because if anyone touches it, other than the automatic opening and closing, it'll freeze the trolley in place. And you have to, if it's enough, you touch it enough, it will be an instance where they got to call a technician out to reset this thing, because it won't run. Even if the door's closed and locked, if it's off by just a little bit, it won't run. So this is what ended up happening. We were in the middle of the Del Mar Loop. The doors were closed, but the engine of the thing kept shutting off because it was a safety measure. And anywhere you looked, as far as the eye can see, were cars. And I knew, you got to be kidding. They must hate us. Hate us. People don't like this trolley because it gets stuck all the time. They don't like the idea of having already terrible traffic there, to have more road taken up, and then no way to get around it. It's surely impossible to make travel if you continue this way. So I just wanted to give you that little quick rant story of the experience we had the last time we rode it.
Yeah, it's pretty good at clogging up the traffic. And I think you raised an interesting issue, too, is how many times this has had problems, because I was coming home. Oh, it was on a Sunday night, maybe 3 weeks ago, and I see the trolley there with all the police around it, you know, and it's like, wonder what's going on there. So I waited for a while, and I thought maybe they're going to have to tow it in, but they brought the repair guy out or something, and he eventually got it going. But I just wonder how many times they've had problems with this, because, you know, you have to realize this is not exactly heavy-duty wear and tear on this thing. It only putts down the road 10 or 15 miles an hour.
And it's brand new. It's brand new. They just refurbished all these things. All right, Tom, do you mind holding on? I got a couple more questions for you.
Sure.
Tom Sullivan joins us, and I was reading some of his remarks to the St. Louis County Council, and we're talking a little bit about the trolley. There's another thing I wanted to talk to him about, but there was something he wrote about before, and I hope Tom could clarify after the break. It has to do with some of the stipulations of what was promised when building the trolley to begin with. There was a couple of things that they said wouldn't happen that ended up happening. And there was one instance where they were talking about what was going to be taxed and how they ended up doing this vote to begin with. It was the way that they counted the properties was a little bit weird. In fact, they've changed the rules since then, so this doesn't happen again. Real fishy how they handled it to begin with. So I wanted to talk to Tom about it, and maybe he can clarify it for us next on Overnight America KMOX. Tom, I got some more trolley questions for you, if that's all right.
That's fine.
There's a couple of points you've made in the past regarding the ideas that were first presented to the public. For example, one of those ideas, we'll never have to see those lines over Del Mar or whatever because, you know, this will be a different type of trolley. And then all they start installing these lines. And, you know, there's certain promises that were put forth to people in order to get them on board. There was one thing that I read, and I was hoping you can explain it to me. And it has to do with the original vote about the 1% sales tax in that area. Because when they were doing that vote and they were asking the businesses that would be affected, how did they manipulate it so that it wasn't an equal vote?
Well, when you put together all your information, you go to the court and they order. If you get everything in, the court determines that everything is in order, and then they order an election. Well, then as the law was written at the time, they send out ballots to the various property owners, and your vote was weighted, which is of course incredibly unusual and completely illegal.
The vote was weighted. Can you explain that?
It means according to how many square footage of property you owned, that determined how much your vote was worth. Mm-hmm. So if you owned a small lot and somebody next to you owned a lot that's 10 times bigger, they would get 10 votes and you would get one vote. Mm-hmm. In fact, I'm looking at it right now, a copy of the ballot. They have it apportioned. Your percentage is right on the ballot. In other words, everybody has a ballot. This election is not like you go in a place, you go and vote at a polling place. you get a ballot mailed to you for you to particular property owner, and then it lists how much your vote is worth and everything. Then you have to sign it and vote yes or no, and then you have to return it. But then they changed the law. Of course, I don't know how this ever even got on the books. I mean, if you look at the Board of Freeholders, years ago when that came up, they took it to the Supreme Court, and of course they said, well, of course, if you're going to have a vote that only has property owners, that's illegal, unconstitutional. So, I mean, imagine if you have something like this, it's even more unconstitutional. Well, they changed the law, and now we're back to a different system. But also in the beginning, one of the deceptions that was used was this is not going to require any overhead wires going through the loop. In other words, it's going to be battery-powered trolleys, and when they get outside of the business area, they will have wires, but then they'll recharge themselves. Well, that was, if you look at what these things cost, I mean, these type of cars are not all that dependable, and are, you know, some like millions of dollars. But that was the deception that was used. Well, then all of a sudden they said, oh, no, we won't be able to do that. It just costs too much. But don't worry, the wires will be nearly invisible. Well, anybody's ever seen that. If you've been over, anybody's over a loop, because they're a long way from invisible, because uh-huh. They've got big poles, and they got the arms, and then they got the wires extending all over the place. So it's just a been deception. And the other deception was, of course, oh, our finances are fine. Even before they laid the track, people at public meetings, some of you city residents were saying, what happens if it doesn't work? Do you have the money to restore it? Oh, no, not a problem. And, of course, they've had all kind of problems with finances. But generally speaking, what they say and do, whatever's needed to move it along to the next level, and whether it's true or not, it doesn't really matter. So they've been fudging on the finances all along, and they finally reached the end of the road.
Yeah, you know what the Del Mar Loop looks like. If you've ever gone to any of those circus acts where they have the tightrope walkers and you see the safety net below them, it looks like there's a safety net over the Del Mar Loop. That's how many lines are up there, just in case someone's up there doing a high wire act. And one other thing, too, and I was reading part of your comments that you had to the county council. It was the word loan. So when the trolley needed some extra money, there was Clayco loan, $200,000. Someone made a $100,000 loan. The trolley received another $100,000 loan. They kept going through it. So is that money that the trolley owes still, or is that something that was more or less given to them with no expectation of repayment?
Well, I would imagine people like to get the money back, but I don't know what the details of the loans are. They just listed them as loans. Clayco actually gave $500,000, and that's, you know, they don't have to repay that. But then they made another loan for $200,000, and I don't know how anybody would really loan this operation any money with the expectation that they're going to get paid back, because every cent that goes into this thing just gets spent. I don't know what point in the future where they're going to actually generate more than they need. I don't see that at all.
How in the world is that possible? You're right, because the income that is generated from it, nowhere near even close to the amount that they've loaned out on top of what they've already had. So it's impossible. It is literally impossible for them to make it back, unless somehow they found a way to turn this into like an illegal drug operation, if they were smuggling some goods or whatever. Honestly, I can't think of a way they could legally turn this thing around. I mean, it doesn't make sense.
It doesn't, and that's where the drama is going to start coming in as they're getting to the end of the year, and they're going to be saying, you know, it's almost like a game of chicken. If you don't give us the money, we're going to shut this thing down. And where the money is going to come from, I don't know. I think that the mayor of St. Louis, Lida Cruson, and the county executive, they both would like to see it continuing, but they're not all that fond of giving it money. And you know, here you have Sam Page. He's running for election next year. I don't know if he wants to look to be made foolish over this thing. So how this is going to end, we're going to find out, I guess, at the end of the year.
Wow, there it goes. Well, thank you, Tom Sullivan, for spending some time with us to talk about the Loop Trolley, some of the updates with it, and really some of the comments and points you've been making. I've really enjoyed reading about you've paid so much attention to this, and I'm glad you're doing it. And thank you for coming on again to Overnight America.
Well, thanks, Ryan, for having me.
Gonna have to bring him on more frequently. I actually really enjoy our talks. So that's Tom Sullivan, and we post that up on our podcast. And we've had it's been maybe a month or so, and then I think we spoke to him last year about various topics he follows very closely. KMOX.com/ONA. We only have one more segment left before we say goodbye for the night. And thank you for the text messages that came in. The phone number is 314-436-7900. You know, talk about money in general. We talk about the Del Mar Loop trolley. That is pale in comparison to how much money they're spending. NASA's paying per seat on the SpaceX's crew. I got a couple of space stories for you. You want some space stories? Boeing astronaut taxi will now cost NASA about 60% more per seat than SpaceX's vehicle will. So NASA will likely pay about $90 million for each astronaut that flies aboard Boeing's Starliner capsule to the International Space Station. So right now, NASA is paying Russia, because Russia is the only one that really has the shuttle up and back to the International Space Station. We've dropped that here in the United States. I think they said, we'll just hike a ride with someone else. We'll pay them for the opportunity. They've been paying $86 million per seat when they want to send someone up and down to the International Space Station. Think about the Americans that are up there right now. Imagine that. You're sitting there, whatever you're doing right now at work, maybe you're, I don't know, behind a desk, maybe you're driving, maybe you're working with your hands, moving things, working the line, whatever it is. You could be anywhere in the United States right now, or you could be laying in your Lazy Boy recliner. How much money has your employer invested in you? How much money has gone through the employer's funds to make it so your life is easier? You think they'd ever spend $90 million for you to get a ride? that's such a huge investment. So that's how much it costs, I guess, after NASA got out of the business of going up into space independently as a country. So as they calculate per seats estimates, they look at the testing cost, and then they do a little bit of magic. So there's different costs associated with that sort of thing. And sure, it may be a little bit more than hiking with the Russians, but certainly now that the technology is starting to get there and they're trying to bring the price down, sure, the price will go down. And that's kind of the idea, right? So you're not always having to go over to Russia to get this done. But it's kind of cool. Spacecrafts has been astronauts only ride. Soon, before you know it, you're going to be able to hike a ride yourself if you got the money to go up into space and back unregulated. Oh, here's one other thing. And I was going to rant about this. NASA's Life Hunting Mars 2020 rover will search for alien microfossils. I'm just going to throw this out there. I really believe that NASA in general, the reason why they sprinkle all these articles out there, we're close to finding Mars, and they hid the idea of Mars, and I think they do that because it's good publicity, and they're very good at knowing that if they can spread out the marketing campaigns and get people to talk about it and put it in the news, then they're more likely to continue to get their funding, even though over the past couple of decades, yeah, they've got some pretty cool things from Mars, but they always dangle the, I think we found life, but never they do. So the Life Hunting Grounds, they located a different spot where they're going to send this 2020 Mars rover to, and they hope that they're going to look through certain rocks. So the idea is kind of fascinating. There's certain minerals that are good at preserving microfossils. So they say, we're going to target that area specifically, drop the rover down, and we're going to test those different minerals and see if there's microfossils in there, because that's the best chance, because they're getting close to where they believe would be large bodies of water. And if there was large bodies of water, maybe there's a chance that life was developed there at some point. Says with NASA's Curiosity rover has been exploring since 2012. They've hosted different lakes and gone through to look at it. There's a lot of weird things that happen on Mars. Don't get me wrong. There's some exciting things that happen in there, but they keep dangling that life on Mars right over you over and over and over again. Let's see. Tammy just texted in. Hey, Ryan, is the trolley handicap accessible? I believe it is. I can't say I've ever seen it used that way. But then again, no one uses it, so it's kind of tough to catch it when it does. But I think it is. I just haven't seen how. But I'm pretty sure it is. All right, one more segment left. Overnight America, KMOX. Your trying out the Disney Plus this weekend, which is the new Disney streaming service. And we were watching one of the original movies they put on just to the Disney Plus, which is Lady and the Tramp, and showing that to my son. I was so proud of him. So it gets to the point where the different cats come out. And it's been so long since I've seen the cartoon, so I don't remember how closely this live version mimics the original cartoon, but there's a lot of the same scenes. You know, they have the bowl of spaghetti and they, you know, kiss in the middle and they nudges the little meatball and whatever. So one of the reasons why the lady dog was looked at so negatively was because the person that was babysitting brought two cats and the cats ripped up the living room and got blamed on the dog because, oh no, there's it had to have been the dog that jumped into nearly the ceiling to rip up those curtains, you know, this little dog that couldn't jump to save its life. But so it goes down and it scrapes all the way down. And my son's watching this and he is so nervous watching Lady and the Tramp. He is deathly nervous. He's like, oh, that dog's going to get in trouble for the cats. Ah! And is really, really, really stressed. And then he made a pact. He said, we are never going to get cats. Never, ever will we let a cat in this house. I said, son, I've never been more proud of you. I realized very quickly that dogs are the way to go. Kevin Colleen had another great whole nother story.
Many of us, it seems, have lost our taste for milk. What happened?
I haven't drank milk in years. It's just not a thing as I get older.
Yeah. Does it catch in your throat or remind you of grammar school? What don't you like about milk?
This reminds me of being a little kid.
Here's a young mom putting her kid in the car. Hello. May I ask you, you have a young daughter here. Do you feed her milk a lot?
She drinks a lot of chocolate milk.
Yeah. And how about you yourself? As time goes by, what is your attitude toward milk?
I think milk's okay. I don't really have an aversion to it.
How often do you drink it?
Me, probably a couple times a week.
Give me yeah, it's very demanding with these kids.
Yeah.
Do you ever just want to just have a big chocolate milk to get away from your troubles?
Yes.
What does she want?
Chocolate milk right now because I'm talking about it.
Do you drink milk like you used to when you were a girl?
Oh, Lord, no. My stomach can't take it, but I do love cheese.
What does milk do to your stomach?
Oh, it just tears it up something terrible.
What are your symptoms?
Just lactose intolerance and that
kind of
thing.
So it gives you gas, in other words.
Yeah.
I love it, but I have to buy Lactaid.
Yeah. Now, are you in business?
I work for a company, yes.
Yeah. Now, if you were to drink like a big glass of milk before a business meeting, is that part of the problem?
That would totally bug me, yes. I couldn't get along with that, no.
You'd have to leave the room?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It would only take like an hour before I'd have to.
But milk still has its fans.
We're drinking as much milk as we always have.
How much is that?
Well, it's the two of us, half a gallon a day, a week.
Yeah. So you're the what the dairy industry wants. You have survived as an adult with your milk habits intact.
Yeah, I would say so, yeah. I'm a fan of milk.
Are you going out to lunch now?
No, I'm headed to FedEx office.
Oh, you're going to have some milk while you're there?
I don't know if they sell it there.
With a whole other story, I'm Kevin Killeen.
Oh, I love milk. I love that kid. He goes up to the mom, who is putting her kid inside of the car, and says, do you drink milk? Yes. I give her chocolate milk. And then for the remainder of that little moment they had together, give me chocolate milk. give me chocolate milk. Did you catch that? Let me see if I can refine that one spot. It's right around here somewhere.
I don't really have an aversion to it.
How often do you drink it?
Meep.
give me.
I don't really have an aversion to it.
How often do you drink it?
Me, probably a couple times a week.
Give me chocolate. Yeah, it's very...
Kevin starts. So he gets the ball rolling. And of course, Kevin walks away and the mom's thinking, thanks a lot for leaving me with the kid now that's going to be asking for chocolate milk the rest of the day. Oh, I loved milk growing up. I think that's all I drank. I don't even think I ever drank water. It was only milk. At school, You had, what was it? I forgot how much it cost, but it was like maybe a quarter for a little container of milk. And they still give milk to kids at school anymore. I love it. I love it, love it. I like chocolate milk, but I thought regular milk was great. And still to this day, if I really want to enjoy life, I get a little vitamin D. I mean, I like the way vitamin D tastes. It is good, good, strong, thick milk. That does it for us on Overnight America. We'll be back again tomorrow night. I'm on Twitter at Ryan Recker. Also, KMOX.com/ONA is where you can listen to this entire show or any of the other shows from the past. Enjoy the rest of your night. We'll see you tomorrow.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.